Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Well, hello. It's a high energy intro from Ryan.
What?
Is it you doing the intro?
Yeah. It's me. I'm doing the intro now.
Oh, right.
I'm
okay.
This in your
okay.
own inimitable style.
Can I just ask? One thing before we begin, and don't hate me for this, but we're supposed to be in Doha this week, and it's quite important that we are.
I am. Where are you?
I have. There's been a big mix-up with where I am. I'm in Western Samoa.
I thought you were going to say Western Supermare then, but
no, partly a mistake. But also, I just wanted to do a bit of research as to whether we've missed anything in Polynesian football.
Okay.
For the part.
That's dedication. Yeah. I'm impressed with that.
The answer's no, I haven't missed anything. Uh-oh. I think we've covered Polynesian football.
I did a similar research mission. Well, it was partly a research mission, partly because I booked this ages ago, but I'm in Butlin's Minehead, and they do have a fun fair here, but to be honest, I don't think we can borrow much from it. It's sort of really mouldy, shitty teacups that you spin round in, and yeah, I regret coming
Is
here,
it
really.
Tuvalu has... they're like the lowest ranked team in FIFA, I think. FIFA coefficient. And half of their pitch is a landing strip, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's true. They've barely got enough population to muster a first 11. That's how tiny they are.
But yeah, if we played them, they'd beat us, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Anthony. I think the three of us would give them a ruddy good go.
It'd be like one of those the Japanese game show with three adults versus 100 kids.
What do you call someone from? This is not a joke. It's a genuine question. Oh, right. What do you call someone from Tuvalu? Tuvalunese? Tuvalu-esque?
Ooh, good question. Let's find out. I'll tell you what. I'll go there on the way to Doha next week. I'll go to Tuvalu and I'll play them at football. I'll let you know how I get on.
Right.
I mean, we've done it again, but why not? Let's park it for this week. Let's discuss three more ideas and let's do our best. Our very, very best next week.
We really have to get cracking next week.
Should we all maybe reconvene in England and then all make sure we get the same flight out?
Well, why don't
together?
You lads come out to Tuvalu for a couple of days?
Oh, no.
We'll play the national team at football and then we'll go to England.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to Doha.
If there's a kick about, I'm involved.
Great.
Frankly. All right. So, yeah, I'll see you in Tuvalu next week.
We can beat those.
We've just lost our listenership from Tuvalu.
Oh,
all right, let's get on with it.
Oh, he's inside the grandstand. He wears the captain's armband. He's good at keeping up as he saves a little puppy. Captain Football Land. Captain Football Land.
It's Father's Day coming up, isn't it?
It is, yes.
There are a lot of fathers and sons in football. I mean, you've got Alex and Darren Ferguson, Harry and Jamie Redknapp.
Alex Bruce.
Yeah.
Kasper Schmeichel, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite an incredible amount of father and sons. And father and sons quite often have sort of problematic relationships, right?
Yeah.
I think it's sort of fair to say many, many sons feel that their dads are not quite up to muster. But in football, it's probably the reverse.
Yeah.
I would say that lots of sons don't quite fulfill their sort of father's ambitions or kind of match their level, you know, in most cases.
I think that mirrors the other kind of way that father-son relationships go wrong, in that the dad is in competition with the son, and if the dad is the dominant male, then it sort of screws the son up.
Is it the fault of the mum for having poor football genes? Should the dad, if the dad wants to create a footballer in his own mould, the dad should impregnate his own mother to, you know, to create a footballer as good as him? Because otherwise it's foreign, it's kind of foreign genes, isn't it, his wife?
Some of the father-son relationships that we've already touched on, the famous ones, there is evidence to suggest that is exactly what happened.
Yes. But the better the son is at football, the more likely the dad impregnated his own mum.
Yeah, which makes the son his dad's brother.
Well, you look at some players and you think, Alex Bruce, probably not. I'd say Steve Bruce had sex with his own wife to create Alex Bruce. Not disparaging Alex Bruce, but he's not as good as Steve Bruce was. Are there any son footballers that are as good as the dad?
It's really hard to find. I mean, Bob and Michael Bradley might, Michael Bradley, probably the better footballer. Dad has. Well, let's see. Let's see how Michael Bradley's career, management career, plays out.
Windass Jr. is doing quite well, isn't he?
Yeah.
In the lower leagues. But
Liam Delaps at City.
Delaps at City, but will he push through? It's, you know, these are all the ones you're bringing up, a kind of speculation. I don't think there's been a... So is it that, you know, there's the kind of... There's a bit, I think there's a Larry David bit that says every generation gets better looking. Is it with footballers that every generation they get progressively worse?
Is that true, or is it because if the dad wasn't that good at football, we just don't know about them? We don't remember them?
They could go full circle if the offspring of the son then had sex with the grandmother.
But you're also forgetting that a lot of the footballers you're mentioning were not that great. I mean, you know, Dean Windass, you know, not
the legend that is Dean Windass.
Rory Delap, not that, you know, he had a big throw. You know, these are not, so there might be something in it. And also maybe the whole having sex with your family doesn't quite work, in that most of the footballers that we're talking about, most of the dads weren't footballers. So maybe the key is that you need to have not been a footballer to produce a better footballer than you.
Yeah. What about Kyle Walker-Peters? His parents were Ian Walker and Andy Peters.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would he be like as a kids' TV presenter then? Would that make him better or worse at sitting in the broom cupboard?
That conception would have been wild. Ian Walker in the 90s with Andy Peters just going at it while Ed the Duck watched on in the sort of chair next to the bed.
Yeah, they thought they'd timed it for the end of Jack and Ori, but the Jack and Ori was a short story that week and they came back too early.
It was for haiku. Why did we have the shortest story when we decided to conceive live on air?
Why did we try to conceive live on air?
It was the only window Ian Walker had, because he'd just been taking over from Eric Torsvet in the Tottenham goal at that point. So he had a very busy schedule. He could only conceive in that. He was ovulating in that particular window.
Andy Peters was surprised he said yes when he sent him a letter.
Anyway.
It's probably not the weirdest thing you would have seen on 90s TV. I'm pretty sure I saw that segment on Eurotrack. With Antoine de Caen watching, you know.
Yeah. So if you have sex with your mum, your son is also your brother. What is it if you have sex with your grandma? What will your son be then?
Your uncle. With your own grandma, then your son's your uncle. Yeah. And that's where the phrase Bob's your uncle comes from.
Yeah.
Because Bob Bradley had sex with his own grandma.
Who looked exactly like Bob Bradley.
Had the similar skill set anyway. Good central midfielder. Anyway, sorry, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm calling this ride Father and Son, the big man, little guy combo. And while I kind of initially envisaged that it was a rent-a-dad service for sons who sort of wanted that kind of nepotistic love of like a footballing father, you know, the dad that kind of, you know, just puts you in the team that even you may not deserve your sort of position, you know, that level of kind of affection. You're willing to jeopardize your own career to kind of put your offspring forward. I've to make this more footballing, I think this is my gift to sort of fathers everywhere, inside football land. It's a rent-a-son service. So if you're not too happy with your son, you can either go to football land alone and go to the big man, little guy combo desk and rent yourself a son who is infinitely better than your actual son. Or if you travel there with your son, maybe it's some kind of renditioning service where we kidnap your son and replace it with a better son.
Would it not be a stronger concept and provide more of a service for all concerned if your real son is forced to stay with you whilst you adulate this rent-a-son and pick him over your own son?
I mean, it's a bit like a really cruel coaching service, which is, again, in itself, maybe is very footballing in that, you sort of humiliate your son and constantly point at the better son and sort of say, this is what you should be doing. That level of kind of dadness would be very fitting.
It's really nice, though, because so many parents at Sunday League are just so frustrated with their children on the touchline, just thinking, you know, why is my child so badly coordinated? And, you know, to have almost like a son escort service is nice. But can we don't go down a cloning route? Because then there's no kidnapping. Could we not clone your son, but add in some football DNA? Because football's full of DNA. Football's
it's often
swimming
referred
in
to.
DNA.
Can we not, more DNA in football than in any other sport.
Can we
I'm
not
a bit
get
worried that you're
blood
describing
tests.
Sperm.
No. No, I'm not. I'm talking stem cells. I'm talking stem cells here. Okay. Stem cell research.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, if you could create a twin for your son, or if you wind it all the way back to the conception, could you, and going back to sperm, could
so
you...
Not just cloning, but time travel. Yeah, carry on.
No. Sorry, forget cloning.
I'm just pushing the budget up.
I'm just trying to save on money by, let's say, a dad, fertility treatment. You know, so many test tube babies are twins now because they implant a few more eggs. I'm not a scientist.
The science is just better and it works more effectively than it used to.
If you have twins,
more for your money.
Why can't one of those twins be just
you literally full, get more bang for your buck.
Exactly, full of top footballer DNA.
It's quite a long payoff. Is the only problem with that? You know,
you only got 6 months of football land being relevant.
And you know, it's sort of maybe an 18-year kind of. It's quite a long wait to know whether that ride at football land, the fertility ride that you went on at football land, really pays off.
Also, tactics
imagine
change,
if you went through
they?
All that. You went through all that, and your son was a really genius footballer. And at 18, he gets signed by a big club, and then you remember why. Like you've forgotten that you've got to go back to football land.
Yeah,
how would we keep track of all these genius football?
And I'm a little worried I'm a little worried that if we start cloning people, we're going to have the sort of the prestige issue again, where we've got to start getting so many clones, we've had to drown so many people. I know.
Thinking of revenue streams, Westworld is really effective. It's really successful and it earns lots of money. We have got a whole sub underground park full of discarded clones.
True.
Prestige style. I mean, there's going to be some good drama series come out of this, if nothing else.
Yeah. We got the idea still that a lot of the clones have, we've put gills on them and they can go under the sea. Because then we don't have to kill them. It's just the killing. It's like, would you kill your own chicken for lunch? That's the philosophical question. My question to you is, if you're in the Prestige and you're a magician, would you drown a clone? And I have to say, I wouldn't. I would rather give a clone gills and let them live under the sea. Like we've done before. This technology already exists in our park.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've all got pets as well, because there's a load of totally bald dogs swimming around under there that we've thrown over the fence because they've gone rogue.
Yeah, we could give them gills as well.
I think let's have a think about it. Yeah, but I think the easier solution might be that all of the footballers that are rejected from clubs, we sign them up. There's a very high turnover in unfulfilled talent, and those sons are, well, might not be great other son, like, you know, they might not be great at other son stuff, but they will be infinitely better than most people at football. So maybe that's enough.
You're kind of saying, Ryan, that we hang around outside Man City's academy, and as soon as we see a 17-year-old or 16-year-old kid go in for a meeting with the coaches and the management, as soon as we see them having that meeting and coming out of the doors with their, like, all of their possessions and crestfallen, we then add insult to injury, we kidnap them, we put them in the back of a car, we drive them to Doha, and we give them an entire new family.
I think there's a kindness involved in this.
To add insult to injury, I mean, you know,
it's just a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is a lot to take in.
But they'll only be distressed for a little while, and then they'll realise that their footballing talent is appreciated all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
fair enough.
They can just do some keepy-uppies in a queue, and Dad's, like, well happy. Maybe we set up a kind of little five-a-side tournament, they can go on and kind of crush it, all the other sons, you know, that sort of thing. And we'll put them up in the international break hotel. What more could a young man sort of want for? And he's not really got to develop the bond with the father either. It's a very temporary thing. You know, it's just for the day.
What happens if it isn't temporary? What happens if there is a strong emotional bond? That party at the end of the day is going to be awful. Do we allow for extended loan periods?
I think we allow for extended loan periods.
That's humane.
I've got a problem with the safeguarding techniques here, Ryan.
Oh.
I think it would be much fairer, more economical, and more fun if we create a Benjamin Button-style scenario where we take ex-pros who have just retired from Premier League clubs, we dress them up in... We reverse the ageing process, and we reverse their age all the way back down, you know, down to a baby. And we give the dad that player. So the player would start off at, like, Charlie Adam. Charlie Adam already looks like an overgrown baby now, doesn't he? Like a grizzled old baby. So I could see that happening with Charlie Adam.
Yeah.
We take Charlie Adam, we say, do you want to carry on punditry? Or do you want to have your aging process reversed and become a baby in 37 years? But you do get a new dad, and you do have to play football around when you're 17.
There's something terrifying, isn't it? You're on a father and son day out in Doha. You step through the gates. Your son is pushed by his face into a bush, and you're handed a baby that is Roy Keane.
And you've terrifying. Got to wait. You've got to wait 18 years for the payoff. Are you just going back to baby? I mean, I mean, lots of options here.
Yeah.
I think.
How does Benjamin Button end? Does he go back inside the mum at the end?
He gets pushed back up, yeah. Gets pushed. I mean, it's a horrific scene. This old man who's tiny getting shoved up someone's foof. It's horrific.
You'd do a caesarean there, wouldn't you? You would. You
would that be
want
kinder?
To put an old man up your bits, would you?
What's he going to do in there?
That's what it says in the script. Before the end, it just says, she puts the old man up a bit at the end.
It's when you're really thankful for rewrites, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But you wouldn't want him to be, you wouldn't want to put him in a tank and watch Roy King transform back into a sperm, would you?
Well, we could, okay, maybe we'll...
swimming around a tank. Oh, yeah, that used to be Republic of Ireland Captain Roy Keane, yeah.
He's got a little tiny beard if you look closely.
Because then it would work again. It would be recycled. You could then implant that back into somebody's egg and create a new baby again. It's recycling. It's recycling in action.
I think if we do this, let's do it all out of you in the Wayne Lineker testicle.
In the lab.
In the lab. Right. We'll put a little lab in there. But it's lots of options, I think.
Very loads of options. Time, yeah.
Probably time to vote on this, I think. All those in favour of father and son, the big man, little guy combo, say aye after three. 3, 2, 1.
Aye. Congratulations, Ryan. And as soon as we nail that down, exactly how we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's have a short-term option, a medium-term option, and the Benjamin Button option, I think.
Yeah.
And just cost them out, Mark, please.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
At the time of recording, we are just post-end of the season, so there's lots of these happening, and by these I mean open-top bus parades. So I think it's we don't have enough roller coasters in the park. There is an argument for saying we have too many roller coasters, but I'm going to say let's have another one, and it's the open-top bus roller coaster.
Wow.
So I'm quite excited by a double-decker roller coaster. I'm not sure if such a thing exists already, but if you want to be safe and a little bit boring, you can sit downstairs on the open-top roller coaster.
I mean, but fair play. For people with mobility issues, they would want to do that, wouldn't they?
Well, possibly, yes. Is there such a thing as an enclosed roller coaster anywhere? Can you be indoors in your roller coaster compartment?
I don't know.
To do it for the novelty value.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in real open-top bus tours through the centre of the city where you're returning victorious, no one sits downstairs. It's always the driver. And even then, the driver
Did James Milner sit downstairs? I could see James Milner sitting downstairs.
Probably did.
On next season.
Yeah. He sat downstairs really concentrating on not drinking.
Yeah.
Just being really holier than thou.
Speaking of alcohol, you've got to be really drunk to go on this ride, haven't you?
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
For someone like James Milner, that is like having been in an enclosed sort of space, not being able to get off and...
Not sexually.
Well, he might be downstairs, but I mean, not being able to get off the bus, being surrounded by drunk footballers, that is a terrible experience.
But I'm thinking you have four categories that you can ride as, and you probably don't choose these yourselves. I think these are assigned as you go past the barrier to get on this ride. So bog standard normal, well, five categories. Bog standard, James Milner is the first, where you sit downstairs on your own contemplating fitness issues. Bog standard, where you're just upstairs riding the roller coaster. It's a good roller coaster, open top, on a bus, so there's kind of centrifugal issues. You're swinging about a bit more wildly, a bit more unstable than a single-decker roller coaster. But then the interesting ways to ride this kick in. I'm thinking the first is the Jurgen Klopp. If you remember in 2019, when Liverpool won the Champions League and did an open-top parade through the city, he had a couple of beers, and he doesn't normally drink, so he was a little bit squiffy, and he's chose to sit astride the top of the bus. So only one leg was inside the bus and on safe ground, and he very, very nearly fell off. Imagine riding a roller coaster like that.
Oh, gosh, that would be incredible. Don't forget, people adoring on, you know, you could have the queue stretching the length of the roller coaster all cheering you on. You know, like to get that atmosphere of, the queue goers. And those queue goers, they need to be, maybe there's an incentive for them to be cheering, but people need to be cheering. I think people will get into it. But the safety issues of that. But centrifugally, that could keep you, could be kept in by gravity.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
It would create an amazing sensation on your testicles, Mark.
Oh.
It doesn't look comfortable.
He was one step from sort of doing a Mad Max Fury Road, wasn't he?
Mm.
He was almost like that guy sort of playing the guitar at the front. I think that should be an option. I think you should be able to be at the front.
That's a good call, yes.
Sort of harnessed in maybe like that guy, but instead of a guitar, you've maybe got a trophy. And you've basically got to not do a Sergio Ramos.
I was coming to Sergio Ramos. You can ride as the kind of anti-open top tour where you're given a trophy and you have to try and drop it under the wheels. Yeah, everything stopped and the police and the fire brigade came and tried to extract the mangled trophy from underneath the wheels. And everyone carried on cheering, thinking it was part of it.
It did not affect the atmosphere whatsoever, which kind of proves that actually you don't need to win anything to do... You don't need a trophy. You don't need to win anything to do a bus top tour.
Just look at Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's something quite sweet in one way of looking at it and something quite utterly bizarre that this season ended on a massive downer, in two massive downers, and they still did an open top bus parade and it was still really celebratory. I don't know quite what to make of that.
Yeah,
but,
you could really piss off sort of the Roy Keynes and the Sunesses, which, you know, if you're caught celebrating avoiding relegation, you know what I mean? You could just really kind of ratchet it up, you know.
Has anyone had an open top bus parade for avoiding relegation?
I would love that.
Everton are thinking about it, aren't they?
Yeah.
They must be thinking about it. I mean, do we incorporate this element into the roller coaster in that it is for something? You've just been promoted at work, or you've just avoided the latest round of redundancies. You get your open top bus tour in football land. You choose who the Jurgen Klopp is, who the Sergio Ramos. And the other one that I really want to be part of this is Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
Absolutely hammered, spouting shit. That is preserved for all time on social media.
Maybe for that, there's like an air filter. I don't know how, but it's through speakers, everything you say while you're on the ride gets sort of translated into nonsense. Also, when their eyes are just gone, aren't they? Because they're so pissed. And it happened with Freddie Flintoff and Kevin Peterson, like in 2005,
famously,
after
yes.
they won the Ashes, and their eyes were just gone. Like something with gravity.
They went to Downing Street whilst they were in that state, and there was an England game, like football game, and they were all in the crowd, and they were interviewed live on the sporting coverage, and they were hammered and swearing, and it was glorious,
just absolutely hammered, and it was towards the end of the cricket season, fine, but like it there were still a few weeks of the season left to go. I mean, that takes some doing. Like, usually it's after the whole of the season is finished of a sport. Mm. You don't have a few games left. Although, didn't Real Madrid have a open... Didn't they all go out and get pissed after they won the league? And they still had the Champions League two weeks later?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
So, you know, there are... But I like your idea of celebrating something. Maybe there can be some thorough interview processes at football and in the queue. What are you celebrating? Why? And they put you into categories. So it's like, oh, I got promoted at work. Then maybe there's 30 or 40 people that have all been promoted at work. They can all go on one roller coaster ride of it. And, you know, you whittle out, oh, it's my birthday today. I'm sure there'll be lots of birthday celebrators in the crowd. So you can theme each ride. I mean, for the stewards, that is quite a logistical hassle. But maybe if there's five queues and each queue is for a different category, maybe that's the easiest way to
simply...
do it.
You know, when you book a restaurant and it says, you know, is it a special occasion? And there's a little tick box. We could just do that when you're buying your ticket at Football Land Online.
But I think the roller coaster should be quite aggressive, quite, you know, for hardcore roller coaster fans only, especially if we're not giving anyone a choice.
The G-Force has got to do that to make your eyes go, all weird. I think the gravity of the roller coaster does that to your eyes rather than alcohol, because don't forget alcohol's banned in Qatar. So we can't have anyone drinking on the ride, unfortunately.
We've got the boating lake full of alcohol.
Yeah, that's true.
The vapors
might kind of waft off the lake.
You could have a sprinkler system of fizzy, non-alcoholic wine that sort of coats everyone in this sort of film of fizz.
Well, we have got Uri Geller in the park and Paul McKenna. We can just use their mind tricks to convince everyone they're hammered, even though they're not.
That's very
And I
true.
Think it might be a nice touch to do the Jack Grealish interview after you get off. You're hammered either through G-Force or through Paul McKenna clever mind tricks, and you get to take that away. That gets posted on your social media, and you've got that preserved forever.
I'm curious to see whether Jack's going to be as pissed when City next win something, like say they win the league again. Was it just a release of, okay, I've left my boyhood club and like I've won something, I'm vindicated? Or is it just he likes any excuse to get absolutely shit-faced?
Well, he's also probably quite a lightweight, and considering what he's done in various off-season sort of trips abroad.
Lockdowns.
I mean, seconds after telling everyone stay indoors and behave, he got hammered and crashed his van. Jeep.
I would like it if he was driving a van.
on a bus.
for no reason, he's just driving a white van. Like a really battered, rusty one that's got, you know, clean me written on the back or something.
Yeah. All right, I think we're ready for a vote. Everyone in favour of the open top bus roller coaster being part of Football Land, say aye after three. 3, 2, 1.
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations, Mark. Well done. Yeah. Football Land. I have an idea. I've been reading a lot about Mount Everest recently and just how busy it is.
Oh, busy.
You know, people complain all the time. I don't want to climb Mount Everest because there's so many people.
There's lots of litter.
Yeah, feces, bodies. You know,
have you read Into Thin Air by John Krakow?
No.
It's an amazing book.
Is it 500 pages of him complaining about how busy it is? That's all everyone's doing.
Kind of, yeah.
We are going to give back Everest to the Nepalese.
Oh.
We're giving it back.
Well, and only a quarter of it belongs to them, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to get into geopolitics, but let's just let the Nepalese have it. Let's just let the Nepalese have it.
Problem solved, yeah.
The best way to do that and to make money for ourselves is to create a rival mountain, one that's just as big, if not a foot higher than Everest, in Football Land. Called Mason Mount. And, you know, we create a man-made structure that looks like a mountain that people can climb. One of the problems with Everest is you can only climb it from like two routes. We solve that. Let's let everyone climb it from different ways. A bit like Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh. You can climb that lots of different ways. Yeah. And, you know, a big fiberglass mountain, and it's kind of, it looks like Mason Mount. It's in his image, maybe a big fiberglass Mason Mount the size of Everest, where he's doing like a yoga position. So if you imagine him on all fours, but he's got his front arms outstretched so that they're not bent at the elbow, and he's like putting his head up as high so his forehead is the peak. So his forehead is the peak, and you climb up his back, or you can climb up his
palms. We could have him doing downward dog, and the peak is his bum.
That's fair enough. Yeah, like, I think we can do that, and we can alternate. I think if we can have it different, it can be a mountain that moves, up and down slowly.
Couldn't we sort of have him lounging sideways, like sort of like Michael Jackson on the cover of Thriller?
Of Thriller. That's a very long mountain, though, isn't it? Because if we've got the peak, it needs
quite
to be
a nasty growth on his side. Yeah,
that's
give him kind of a horribly enlarged hip, so that you've got something to climb.
I think
it looks
that's
more
fire.
Like a mountain range that way. You know,
yeah, that's true.
That's true. And we don't want anyone to actually try and mount him. You know, like go inside.
Do not mount the mount.
So having it more on sideways, sort of in the fetal position, but with his head up.
If we wanted to make him look a bit more like that cover, we could have him in the sort of Liverpool FA Cup kind of cream suits.
Yeah.
That would, and then that looks a bit snowy as well.
Snow covered. Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
The trouble is we have got to have Sherpas still, because they are the experts, aren't they, at climbing? It's weird. You don't go to the Alps and it's like all these local French villagers will know exactly how to climb it. You don't have that for Mont Blanc, do you? You only have it for Everest, where the locals have got so much knowledge built over generations.
Canny businessmen, aren't they?
That's really canny. So I think they're still the leading experts of... It's like, like anything, you get the best, and the best are Sherpas. I'm sure Sherpas help out at Kilimanjaro and Fuji. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure
they
do.
And Ben Nevis.
And Ben Nevis.
You see Sherpa charlatans. Charging to go up Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
Isn't there some controversy that Sherpa Tenzing was actually first on the summit and not Hillary?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course he was. And also, how was that Sherpa the first Sherpa ever to think about it? I'm sure people climbed to Everest the generation before.
Yeah, when Sherpa Tenzing came down and said, "I've just been up the top," everyone else said, "Oh, funny we thought of that."
You know what? We should do that big mountain. We should climb it.
It's so obvious when you say it out loud, isn't it?
But I think...
What have we been doing all these years?
Sherpas, obviously, they know Everest so well. We need to get some Sherpas for a couple of years. Or if we can condense it into a 6 weeks period and just, you know, verse them in so much Chelsea history and Mason Mount history and the lore of Mason Mount and just the history of Chelsea FC and all of the games he's played, so that they just know every inch of his body and the best way to climb it. I think that's the only way these Sherpas can get that understanding of a mountain that they're, you know, generations it took to learn Everest.
Does he have a wife? Is he married? Because she should be head of the Sherpas that are negotiating every inch of the mountain.
At least his partner. Or his mum. His mum will know every inch of his body.
His mum will know, yeah. Yeah.
Alternatively, if we do have him like that Michael Jackson cover, not to keep going on about the Michael Jackson cover, but to keep going on about the Michael Jackson cover, we could just find Michael Jackson fans
that really know
that cover very well, every crease of the fabric, you know, which is going to be the sort of, you know, not to get stuck in his pocket or, you know, fall between the buttons of his shirt. They're going to know the safe routes. Up.
Isn't he cuddling a baby tiger or something?
I think that's a different. I think that's a different that's, cover. But
it's definitely not cuddling a baby tiger.
I thought he was.
There is not on Thriller. There might be on. It might be on a single. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's in a white suit, isn't he? Like, I think the white suit was a tribute to Liverpool's cream seats in the 1996 FA Cup final.
He was a black big belt fan and a black of shirt. Mark Wright.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson headed the Mark Wright fan club.
Mark, when you were thinking about was he cuddling a baby tiger, were you thinking about the leopard spotted handkerchief in his top pocket of his jacket? Because that looks like a wild animal sort of fur. So maybe you were thinking of that.
I'd probably think of that.
And also, you know, the writing of the album, it's like Michael Jackson, Thriller, and sort of joined up writing. We could have In the Sky next to Mason Mount, Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah.
There is.
In Kirby writing.
I'm not sure you can do joined up writing is the only thing. It might have to be block capitals.
Mark, I think you're actually thinking of the special edition. The special edition album has him cuddling a tiger that looks very bored. But his knee is more cocked, which is, it's almost making a peak as high as his head. So that is even more mountainous. Mm.
Twin peaks of Mason Mount, yeah.
And that is where, Ryan, Cockney comes from. That's where Cockney comes from. And Mason Mount is Cockney. And that is there anything more apt for this giant mountain?
There is only one problem
we've got
with this ride, and it's because you've called it Mason's Mount, and I know that you're desperately trying to avoid calling it Mount Mason.
Mount Mason, yeah. Because then people might think it's Ryan Mason of Spurs.
Well, yeah. And
you're not allowed anywhere near the head on that one.
Yeah, so there are issues with the name. Maybe if you went Mont Mason, that might be safer.
Mont Mount Mason.
Oh, yeah, Mont Mount.
I think you keep it ambiguous because forget the draw of the Hull City fans and the Spurs fans that might want to
maybe
climb
the answer's just been
Ryan Mason
staring us
mountain.
In the face. Maybe it should just be Mount.
Mount Mount. But that's still got a penetrative sort of allusion to it.
Yeah, but you don't know which way.
Yes.
Do you
mount it first,
or do you mount it second? Like yeah. Mount. Like, that's safe, because I think it's just going to confuse people.
This has got to be the world's first mechanical mountain. And if it can change positions, it can move, and it can wriggle on the hour, every hour, and people have got to cling on for dear life. Can you mount Mason Mount while he's wriggling?
In a tribute to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Dick Van Dyke, when the park's closing, if you're still on the mountain, Mason Mount kind of settles into a sleeping position and Dick Van Dyke sings Hushabye Mountain.
That's lovely.
And you just slide off the Mason.
That would be so lovely. Sliding between his butt crack, sort of down his thigh, into the gift shop.
Through the rectal opening into the gift shop.
Yep. Let's do it.
Lovely. It's lovely.
Thank you. Thanks very much. All right. All in favour of Mason Mount, say aye. 3, 2, 1.
Aye.
Thank you.
Get me up there.
Foot. Footballland.
And that's it. That's another week that we've not started building.
If you know what your relation is called when you hump your grandma, let us know.
I think I saw that on Jeremy Kyle.
All right, yeah, and do all the usual stuff, you know, whatever it is, like the show, listen to it again, maybe.
Subscribe, definitely.
Yeah, subscribe, but if you're listening to it, you probably, like, you can remember, like, I remember, I don't subscribe, so don't feel too much pressure about that. But, you know.
Joining the Patreon's patreon.com/footballland. Definitely do that. That's more of a, I'd rather they did that than just click subscribe.
Well, yeah, I guess on that note, we'll sort of, let's see you next week, I guess.
Yeah, see you next week.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.